Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men podcast. Pre-season continues unabated. In fact, it actually technically begins this week, Chris.
It's mad.
Liverpool play football games again.
It's boss. But it doesn't feel like we've had very long off, does it?
It never does. Never does. Genuinely never does.
It's boss, though.
No. I feel like I've had a rest from it. It's weird because it feels like it's come around really quickly, and yet at the same time, I was looking back through some of our old videos this week for some side project thing, and I had to go. I was surprised how far I had to go back to the Butter game.
That's because we do a lot of videos.
We do a lot of videos.
It's daily news,
yeah,
Paul.
Absolutely. But I've not thought about that game in a while. My thoughts have been very much about maintaining an even keel emotionally around the transfer window. As we've done for the last couple of weeks, we've asked you for some topics. And also, if you want to watch the video version of this podcast, you can. It's on theredmentv.com. You wonderful human beings. Does sexy waves to camera.
Would have been so much fun, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but you've got to let people know what they're missing out on, Chris. If you didn't want... Oh, Christ, no, put it away. Put it away, my ass. So someone was good enough to send us a picture of that when you got your nipple out on deadline day many years ago.
Put on a bit since then, haven't I? That nipple's half the man than he is now.
It's a much bigger nipple these days.
It's like a fried egg now.
It's spread. That was... So thanks very much for that, for bringing that image back into
our
eyes.
And the one from the social club, did you see that one? What's that? Oh, mate, you just carry on.
I'll carry on.
I'll find that.
So I'd be interested to know, people listening, and if you listen to us on Acast and obviously on iTunes and stuff, as always, give us a rating and review and leave a comment. I want to know how people are handling this transfer window, because I did a video last week on my channel about...
You never did a video, did you,
once
Paul?
Once a week, just about.
About just hanging on in there.
People don't need to melt down about the window yet, because Jürgen Klopp is having a laugh and all that kind of stuff, and they're not taking it too seriously, so I don't see why we should. And that was neatly backed up this week by Peter Moore being tweeted, "Oh yeah, you did get your nipple out on Social Club. I'd forgotten all about that." Yeah. You sold yourself too short. We're like, "Oh, you need 10,000 likes. You've done it already
twice."
So the guy who's got Peter Moore tweeted at Peter Moore LFC and said, "Just to let you know, I'm getting loads of Liverpool related tweets. Thanks for this." And he said, "Come on, Peter, why aren't you signing some Liverpool players?" And he's like, "Well, it's a busy market," and blah 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 blah, which I thought was great. But yeah, I've been handling it really well. But I just, it was I've been waiting around for stuff today, and I've been on Twitter a lot.
That was a veiled dig at me.
It was, no.
It wasn't veiled. You outright said it.
I've been waiting for you, you twat all day. So I've been occupied myself, and the internet's been shite. I've been on my phone a lot more. So I've been checking Twitter, and that's whatever you do. Like, fall back is just go to social media accounts and check them out. And just the tone is just knocking my head sideways. And here's the thing. I think it's self-perpetuating at this point, because I'm now more miserable about Liverpool's transfer business and blah, blah, blah. So then I take, if I then take to social media, there's more of an edge of negativity to how I'm talking. And I just think it feeds into itself. Like, I think you've done a pretty good job of staying clear of this to the best of your ability.
I just don't really care what other people think a lot of the time. And that's
not leaving comments below.
But that, you know what I mean? Like, when people...
Apart from our wonderful subscribers.
Of course! But genuinely, like, if you're going to fume about something on Twitter, I'm not that arsed. I don't follow that many people. I don't follow, like the Redman account. When I go on there and we follow, like, 1,500 people or something like that, you know, you're going to get some silly stories.
Yeah.
You have to be a little bit selective with what you want. It's a bit of a scattergun approach because you just want all the Liverpool news sometimes that people have. And, you know, there are a lot of fucking knobheads in social media, a lot of knobheads in the world. Mm. Just ignore them.
Yeah, it's true.
Don't go on Twitter.
I think the problem I've found with it, and this is, you know, I get accused maybe of not letting people have different opinions, and people are entitled to their different and stupid opinions. That's the... No, it's that thing of, I think what we talked about this and about how what seems to happen is, I think there's a lot of people with the beauty of social media, and also the problem with it in some instances is you very much get a lot of people sat at home on their own and they don't have a support network. They can't turn around to the dad or the brother or the best mate and have a chat about these things face to face and whatever. Yeah. So you do tend to reach out, and a lot of social media, it's why you get Facebook posts where people say, like, cryptic, miserable Facebook posts. Updates.
Phishing posts.
Exactly, because they're just looking for someone to come and talk to them and are you okay, hon? And that's what I think a lot of LFC Twitter's become. It's people who are desperate for answers, and in the absence of answers, they fall back on, like, it's become a language of misery that gets talked in. And the beauty of social media, and as I say, its downfall is very much it allows you to reach out and find like-minded individuals. So it does, and you reach out, and your Lonely Hearts Club band get to reach out, and they find other people who share those opinions, and when you find three or four people who share that opinion,
feel vindicated, don't you?
Exactly. And like I say, I'm not
said it before, narcissistic echo chamber.
Yeah,
that's what Twitter is.
And here's the thing: like, I'm not suggesting everything's perfect in any way, shape, or form. I get bored. I'm just bored of it. I'm not like dead angry. I'm not dead wound. I'm bored of the fact that everything needs to be done in the here and now.
Well, that's not just football, though, is it? That's the world that we live in with the technology that we've got available to us and stuff. And you know, you can have a conversation with somebody, and you know, I was talking on a live show on Friday, and I mentioned this to you before, didn't I, Paul? That someone said something about the window, and I said, look, you know, can you really be judging the window when it's still open?
Yeah.
Even when the window's shut is the wrong time to judge the window. Yeah. Look at last season as a perfect example. The window was shut when the transfer window shut last season. Everyone was fucking in uproar. What a shit signing Wijnaldum is. We've overpaid. He's gone down with Newcastle. All this type of stuff. Forward that on 9 months. Wijnaldum was one of our best players last season. Yeah. Yeah. And you can only really view a transfer window after time's gone by. And that's what people aren't willing to let happen.
Yeah.
People want stuff now, yesterday, in the day before. They're not willing to see what value you're going to get out of something. They want the Jurgen Klopp. People wanted Jurgen Klopp from Dortmund. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of him developing players and developing a squad.
Yeah.
You want the end result.
Yeah.
You want when he gets to the final of the Champions League, and you want when he gets the league title. Well, I'm sorry, he had to go through everything else during his 7-year tenure to be able to get there. And all right, it didn't happen at the end of it, and people will say that.
Yeah.
But you understand there's a journey that got him there. He didn't come into Dortmund and they won the league.
Yeah.
That's what people need to remember, Paul. Yeah.
And I think also is that the problem with it at the moment is that social media exists. It's a place where things don't get to change. So where you effectively, if you say something, that's screenshotted, and when it doesn't come to fruition exactly as you forecast or foretold that it would. And this is the problem, and this leads into what the main topic of today is going to be, because we've been asked this by a few different people, and it's about Liverpool needing do we have a plan B in the transfer market, and what does that mean and what does that look like? Because I'm almost as fearful of Liverpool signing players that aren't players that we've been linked with, or Liverpool not. What happens if Liverpool don't spend ludicrous money on players? Is that's almost like, yeah, as you say, it's the judgment that come. It's the snap judgments that wind me up about stuff.
Hey, look, people listening might think we're hypocrites here. We're in that game.
Oh yeah,
we're in the snap judgment. We do a final word after every game, you know, and we do reactions and stuff. I just think that we are a little bit more forward thinking on that stuff.
You know what? But before we get into the one thing, I just want to address, and it's because it's the one thing that's been winding me more than anything, and it shouldn't, because it's probably an example of people getting under my skin, maybe and that is the intention of them trying things. But it's this notion that because I did it on a video, I did a couple. Most people were buzzing with that video because it was just a shout out for positivity, and you know the vast majority of people I think were buzzing for it and were saying great, thanks for verbalising that. It was just how I was feeling. But I got we've had a few tweets to me and you and RedMed, and this accusation that the positivity is put on because it means that we are in the club's pocket, or we're being, this is, if we don't say it how it is, genuinely, if we don't say it how it is, it's because we're afraid that people are watching, and it's going to mean that we don't get X, Y, and Z.
What are the X, Y, and Zs that we get?
Honestly, like, you know, I presumably play in Pro Evo with Lawless Carrius.
Did the club reach out to us there?
No.
How did we get that?
Yeah, that was years and years of me begging Konami's PR department.
That's interesting. The Dizzy Pens. Did the club reach out to us then?
No, that was Ball Street fighting our corner with Vauxhall.
Oh, right.
Who liked what we did.
And what about they the made Suarez the one? What was that? Us.
That was actually us being mates with Empire of the Cop. They got the interview and they passed the Suarez interview onto us because they thought we were quite nice.
What about when you saw Steven Gerrard in LA, when he was playing for LA Galaxy?
That was just pure chance of me being nice to the LA Galaxy people and asking if we could turn up, and they said okay. Steven Gerrard did a man's book launch. That was being nice to his book production company. So basically, in a nutshell, we get fuck all off Liverpool. All we do is get the same bills for tickets that every other fucker gets. Yeah. This is the thing, and I had someone saying you've sold out. It's just my opinion, and the problem we've got, of course, with all this stuff, and I get it. And this is why it's so hard. Because you should never strive to change people's opinions. It's just, I think what our strength has always been in doing this stuff is just presenting our own opinions. And if people happen to share those opinions, they feel great. If people don't share those opinions, you should be able to go understand that people do have different opinions. What we seem to be coming up against is. Is a brick wall of people who can't fathom that other people would have a different opinion to them, and therefore presume that there must be something underhand going on, which I think is that's paranoia.
Here's the thing, right? These people probably don't watch our videos. They probably see headlines from tweets, and you can't put in a headline of a tweet advertising a video what you will say in 20 minutes in a video. Yeah. Imagine what we say in 20 minutes written into an article, Paul.
And all the nuances and all the different points and all that type of stuff
that you cover in a 20-minute video about Liverpool Football Club. They can't get an impression of what we're talking about from a tweet. And that's what it is. Yeah. Because I tell you one thing, you don't get that air of negativity in the YouTube comments, and you don't get that from our subscribers on the website.
Yeah.
They do watch the videos. Yeah. And you might get people who disagree with your point, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but they're not dickheads about it, like on social media.
Yeah, or maybe that's the thing about it, is that that's where we differ. You know, we're not media, are we? It's not our job to put across a balanced point of view. We just call it as we see it, and that's the problem, is that people think that we're going too far one way, or we're not. Whereas I've never, there are definitely, in inverted commas, fan media channels I know that get told what to say and what not to say, because they're owned by major media companies, and they get told, and you know, I remember, let's just say this channel got told to not say nasty things about David Moyes. Can't tell you what channel it is, but I'll let you draw your own parallels and conclusions. But you know, we've never genuinely had that. But it's what it came up against is this notion that there's just people who can't fathom that someone's opinion might differ to their own. You know what I mean? So it's easier for someone to believe that something's fucked up, there's some mad conspiracy theory, than to believe that their opinion might be incorrect, which I think is funny. And hopefully, you know, it's just about riding it out and just continue to be who we be and do what we do. But yeah, it's just, that's the thing that winds me up. I hate that, because I hate lies. You know what I mean? I hate nonsense being propagated, and it winds me up. So, but thank you very much for listening to me. To me, I have a little bit of a whinge and moan, Chris, people in the room, plus also those of you listening at home. It is total and utter bollocks that we would be in the pocket, because Chris, we're affiliates of Liverpool. Can I just clarify something? Like, as an example, the Weekly Planet podcast is pretty much the only podcast I listen to. They're Amazon affiliates. Some of the shit they say about that. You know, the fact is, anyone could be a Liverpool affiliate, effectively. If you've got a website and you can sign up to a WebGains account, you can be a Liverpool affiliate, pretty much. You know, so, you know, if people think that's a thing, it's genuine.
Pornhub.com/LFC.
Sure. Be a Pornhub Liverpool affiliate. Go for it. Why not? I think they'd probably be a much more interesting way of advertising some of them. The kits and training wear. Well,
new player signing.
Yeah.
He just walks in.
On an
aside. I'm your plumber. There it is. It's Mo Salah.
Absolutely. As I need some help in the toilet. As an aside, Liverpool Stay Kit's getting unveiled soon and we will have access to that. But that.
Yeah, we're not in a panic.
But that's the thing about it is that you don't say nasty things about the kits, mate. We do.
Have you watched the videos?
Have you watched the videos? We defo. If I like something, I say I like it. If I don't like something, I say I don't like it. Or I hate it.
Here's the thing. They've won, but I was discussing this, Paul.
Yeah, I know, but effectively, that, shut up. That's yeah, effectively, it's one of those things, isn't it?
Let's move on to footy.
Actually, I want to quit. This question was going to kick us off before it all kicked off. Black Nath B Lightning 4 says, who's been your favourite Liverpool player who you know was shit? Mine was Nabil Elzar because I thought he looked like me.
I can't remember. I think I've answered this question before. It was Cult Heroes that... It wasn't so long ago. My favourite Liverpool player who you knew was shit. Okay, I don't know, Paul. You go first.
Mine's probably falls in the Julio era of maybe a Bruno Cheyroux or whatever, because I looked at him and I looked at the way he was built and he had that. He just had like shades of Zidane in his gait and all that kind of stuff, and he was just shit. And he had those couple of goals back to back with like Chelsea and Newcastle, and you thought, okay, yeah, maybe this is him turning the corner. And no, never did. Other than that, I always come back to it. And he wasn't because he was shit, but like Paul Jones, he only spent like a couple of games on loan from Southampton to Liverpool, and he was one of my favourite Premier League goalkeepers, and he was well past his prime by the time he got to us, and he didn't really do anything of note. He made like one amazing save, and the ball was immediately followed in, and he scored, so he never got to have any heroics, but he was one of them that I was buzzing when we got him, because he'd always been but he never did anything for Liverpool.
I can't, I'm going to go with Christian Ziege then, okay, for kind of the same reasons. I loved him when he was playing in the Bundesliga and stuff like that, and he was a great player. And then, did we sign him from Middlesbrough or something?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, and then when he came to Liverpool, he just wasn't the player, but I kind of always rooted for him and was hoping that he'd be that guy that was there. But anyway, not a very well-known player.
Mm. Yeah, certainly not these days. Okay, so we'll come on to our main topics then. And we've had a few people ask this question, so the two I've picked out were Greenhouse, Cavite, who says, do we really have a plan B with transfers, or will we just make do with what we've got if we don't sign key players? And it was also backed up by Outer City Cop, who just started his own YouTube channel as well. Good luck with all that, mate. Make sure you stay out the club's pocket. Who do you guys think LFC will buy if we don't secure Virgil van Dijk and Keita this summer? I think going back to how we started the show to some extent, Chris, I feel like Liverpool, the only way Liverpool can come close to winning in this window, and it's a complete bullshit made-up sentiment, is if they get Van Dijk and Keita over the line. I don't care what, you know, it doesn't matter what it costs, Liverpool need to get those two transfers done this summer, otherwise there's just going to be ammunition strewn around the place to take pot shots at the club, the manager, the transfer committee, the owners, etc.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, look, either way now, if one of those signs isn't done, there'll be some kind of a failure on Liverpool's behalf. I think the biggest failure has already happened. You know, the Virgil van Dijk stuff, and I know it's probably a month ago now that it all happened. That is a massive drop bollock. Mm. And one that I think it's fair to keep on talking about, because you just can't make mistakes like that when you're talking about one of the top centre-backs in Europe
yeah.
right now. You just can't put yourself in that position where you have to be at the behest of Southampton, whether they're going to sign or the player has to go and put a transfer request in. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely frigging terrible. And by all accounts, it wasn't all the club's fault. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, that information came from the club first and foremost. And they did do the meetings with Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the problem is someone's grassed them up. And that's a risky thing. I got no problem with it, and here's the thing, here's me condoning an illegal action. I've got no problem with Liverpool going absolutely out the way to tap up Virgil van Dijk. And this is because if it comes down to us, without having had that conversation, now it could have been done in like the tried and true old fashioned method. You do it through an intermediary, which is what it should have been done. But if it felt like there was a tipping point, and let's say, and there's no, of course, there is no evidence that, and no charges have come of it about Jürgen Klopp met him or not. But if Jürgen Klopp did physically meet him, if that's true, and we're not saying that it is, and he felt it was because that was going to be the deciding factor in getting that deal over the line, because we were going into in a straight battle with Chelsea and Man City for a player, and these are two teams that can totally blow us out the water in terms of finances, even if we go high on finances. I get that. It's like Rafa's old adage about how he was racing against the Ferrari he was in a high spec BMW, but he's still racing against the Ferrari for the top of the thing. And I still feel
like you get wacky races on it and get some fucking exactly. pins on the road and yeah. shit. Like,
well, this is the thing, isn't it? You know, and this is where you know we're bending the rules, and maybe to the point of we've gone past bending of the rules to make them. So I understand
Skype, guys.
Skype. But even that local...
Or another video call app, whatever
true, true,
it is.
True. Yeah, other video call apps are available. It's like anything. I know myself, I would always, if I feel like I've got to get a point across, I'd always rather do it face-to-face, and that's the problem. You're not allowed to do that. But if you don't get caught, there's no problem. You know what I mean?
I tell you what, Snapchat's probably perfect for this, isn't it? You disappear after 10 seconds. I mean,
his agent's probably screenshotting stuff and sticking it out on Twitter. The fucking idiot.
No, look, I think you're right. Your point is right. Sometimes you do have to go a little bit above and beyond what everybody else is if you want to secure something like that. But the fact of the matter is, it was leaked. We maybe have a chance of still getting Virgil van Dijk. We need to get that done. We maybe have a chance of still getting Naby Keita. But we need to get that done. The question was, do we have a plan B?
Yeah.
Well, until when do you go to plan B?
Well, this is the question. This is the question.
Do you go to plan B when plan A is not working or when plan A's failed? Because in a football match, you might do it when it's a draw.
Smart manager would do it before the shit hits the fan, wouldn't
But
he,
we're not in a football match. We're in something that, 2 weeks before the end of the transfer window, Liverpool could move on to the plan B.
Yeah.
Unless the plan B options start going, in which case, then you have to make a decision, a footballing decision.
This is where I think all the stress of the window comes from, though, is that there's no obvious backup plan B there. There aren't any. There's no link, tangible links that are plausible. There's just a lot of shit media outlets looking for clicks, throwing names out and hoping that something sticks effectively.
Is that a problem?
It's a problem. It shouldn't be a problem, but it is a problem.
Who's it a problem for?
For Liverpool fans, right. In a general sense, because it's like you face. Let's say you're faced with a problem, and again, everyone should be able to switch off to this. But we exist in a world where it's very difficult to switch off to it. You reach an impasse on something, and you can stress out about. Let's look at. Like buying a house as an example of it. So you, and I know you've got a fair whack of experience when it comes to stressful house buying experiences. So you reach a house and you imagine you reach an impasse where it's all ready to go and blah, blah, blah. And you're waiting on this and it's just not happening. And you hold off and hold off and hold off. Now I know actually both you ended up in a situation like this and my cousins end up in a very similar situation where, long story, but very difficult to complete a deal on a particular type of house. You reach a point where you've either got to persist with it and trust that it's all going to come off, or you've got to go out and find another solution. Yeah. Okay. And it's you find peace in actively seeking out other solutions or knowing that other options are out there. Because when you've got other options, you can relax a little bit more because your whole future isn't hinged upon one person making a decision. And that's where a lot of people stress, I think, in this comes from.
Okay. Can I just give a shout out to my brother-in-law, Ed, who listens to this podcast, who is now living with my in-laws because his house deal has completely stalled, right? And he's now looking for a short-term lease, potentially. So these are the options that Liverpool have. Do you go for a short-term option? Yeah. The guy you might only be around.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And for a season or two, or do you look for that forever home slash Virgil van Dijk?
It's true, isn't it? Absolutely true.
But for it depends what type of a person you are. And look, there's a reason that Liverpool have said we're not in for Virgil van Dijk, and there is a reason that Liverpool haven't signed another centre-back yet. Because they're lying, quite frankly. Because they do still think that the Virgil van Dijk deal can go ahead. Yeah. Otherwise, if it was true, the rumours would have started straight away about what the backup option was, plan B. But there isn't a plan B in the centre-back, or he's not gone yet, and we don't need to know about
it. But here's the thing, and let's just continue the home buying analogy, though.
I don't want to do the forever home Virgil van Dijk again, though.
But you waited out, you got the deal done eventually. Cousins had, literally, it was like exactly the same situation. They couldn't get it over the line. So what did they do? They built an extension on their existing house instead, and they stayed put. And then again, you've got your brother-in-law who's gone for a short-term lease option. This is what faces with Liverpool, and here's the thing, and I just don't know the answer, and there's no even inkling of the answer. And if there's one thing I fucking hate, because I have this is one of the key bones of contention I have in my relationship when we have an argument about stuff. It's when you can fret over all the stuff. In the absence of information, sometimes it's best just to go, we'll just deal with it when we get there. But this is the position we're in, where it's a constant daily dialogue. We just need a little bit of something to give us a little bit of peace. So, because at the minute, this is the problem, Chris, and what it was we're kind of driving at before, is we're going to have to face up to a world where Liverpool might not be able to get either of those players. We're going to have to deal with the stress of Liverpool are either going to go and buy two second choice targets, and everyone's going to fucking kick off. Yeah. Because unless they're Mario Goetze and Jonathan Tah, people are going to lose the shit. So we're going to have to deal with that. Or alternatively, Liverpool don't. So Liverpool decide, you know what, we'd rather buy no one than buy someone. Can you even imagine what that's going to be like?
Yeah, I can. It's going to be really difficult to deal with. But again, I keep coming back to it, Paul, and I think the point stands is that there's, 7 weeks left of the transfer window now?
Yeah.
Until Liverpool know that they're not going to get Virgil van Dijk and Naby Keita, I don't see the need in moving on to the second targets, because you might have a backup plan, but if he's half as good, is it really worth it? You know what I mean? You sign two backups now and Virgil van Dijk moves to Chelsea at the end of the window, or Naby Keita does move, you've got egg on your face either way.
Do you think it's a case where, I mean, because I think that's probably where the position Liverpool are in, and this theory would be evaporated by someone buying Sacho. But while Sacho sits there, I still don't think he's ever necessarily going to come back into Jurgen Klopp's plans, and I don't believe we're doing a sell to buy thing, if I'm honest. Not entirely. We'll probably have to be a portion of the transfer budget. We'll have to come from that. I still think we can get one big deal over the line before anyone necessarily needs to go out. Although there's probably like a squad depth issue of keeping players who cost money.
Chamberlain might be reliant on Sacco, but you might be able to get Keita and Van Dijk or two of those players.
While you've got Mamadou Sacco there, your replacement, your guy, if you're going to go and buy a centre-half, if you're going to play left side of the centre-back pairing, he needs to be better than what we've got at the club already. Otherwise, there's no point. And I think that's where Sacco kind of... Maybe he does ease the pressure on that a little bit to some extent. Whereas maybe there's literally no chance. And maybe it's just me just randomly speculating. That's what it is. But you've got him. If the worst comes to the worst, you just turn around and go, Mamadou, welcome back, mate.
Yeah.
You've probably improved. Just if Lucas goes and Sacco takes his place, you've probably improved. You've improved your defence, haven't you? And I know people would be like, "Why didn't they just play last season?" But fine, you know that will of course exist. But maybe that's where that is.
Hey, look, it's a good point, Paul.
But with regard to the midfield, though, and the other things, I don't know. I get what you're saying. But there does have to come a point, and the problem is again, it's just fear, and it's us being fearful, and it's us in the absence of information filling the blanks in with fear, or you choose to fill it in with positivity. And I think the people who are filling it with positivity are probably not on social media, so it feels
to me
where exactly, which is weird. But yeah, it's you would be filling the gaps with positivity out of the two
that's
of us.
That's not me.
Out
of the two, maybe that's because you're being dragged down by
the honestly, I'm being dragged into the mire. But yeah.
You can give me a good reason why Liverpool should move on to a target that they don't think is better than their first target, I'll happily change my opinion.
I agree. But
when your second and third choice for a fucking reason,
yeah,
there is no reason to change.
It keeps boiling down to the absence of it, because what we do is, this is the thing, a lot of this is based on, I think Jürgen Klopp said, he did want more business done a bit earlier. I think that's fine. I think that would have been the absolute ideal. It's just we're maybe a few, our thinking bases on like, well, last season he wanted it done really early. Fine. So maybe we're thinking that maybe we've all got this imaginary cutoff period where it's all fucked once it goes past a particular date.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Look, I agree with you. Jürgen Klopp does want his signings in early. He's got to teach them his way of playing football and stuff. But last season, if you'd have told him that he would have got Sadio Mane in on the first day or a day before the Arsenal game or whatever, and he was his top target, or he could have had you playing right wing from the beginning of pre-season.
Yeah.
I tell you which one he'd have gone for, mate. And it's no disrespect.
Well, no. It's unfair to even put me in the bracket.
I know it's true.
I absolutely take your point. I think the problem is that we're sitting here and we're going, well, no, look on the bright side. And there's people going, well, no, fuck you. I'm going to look on the gloomy side.
Look on the gloomy side all you want. Yeah. I don't give a shit. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I've got my opinion.
Yeah.
And if you can give me a good reason why Jürgen Klopp should go from his first target to his second target when the first target hasn't gone, I might change my opinion.
Yeah.
You're going to have to at me to do that because I don't go on otherwise.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's a good point. And I think that's what I get. Yeah, that's what I think that's ultimately what it is. Here's the thing about football and it's the thing about life.
Deep.
I know.
That'd be good now.
Well, no, but it's true. But here's the thing, because we've got no evidence to suggest, really, that everything's fine. No concrete, no like talk. No one's whispered in our ear and gone, this deal's definitely happening. All that's gone. But equally, there's nothing definite saying that it's all fucked. Now, again, I agree that there's loads of evidence of Liverpool fucking things up in the transfer market. So I agree that is a big backpack. There's a big backpack. Jürgen Klopp's like, you know, let the backpack go with all the history and all that. This is recent history, some of this stuff, and it's definitely valid. But as you say, again, at this point, I just big kind of shrug. And the hardest thing is, of course, what it boils down to is that we are getting closer to the point. And the point of no return is, you know, August 31st. You know, and if it's not done, if Liverpool don't add any more players to their squad before then, I think it's fair to say we'll have a harder season than if we get a few more quality bodies in. But equally, again, looking on the bright side, I see a lot of people saying, like, it's fucked, we're dead, we're screwed, we're blah, 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 blah. Maybe. Hey, maybe not. You know, maybe it'll be fine. I don't know. The point is, none of us know. So how you choose to react to it ultimately is your own prerogative.
Do you know what you need to do? Sort the fucking internet out, Paul. Because I can't be dealing with this every Tuesday. So make sure the internet's just better.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be this way around. This is the wrong dynamic. I don't like doing it this way. You're supposed to digitally cuddle me or real cuddles or whatever. I don't like it this way around. Take me back to last week. Yeah, take me back
to the magic of the moment. It's ultimately up to you how you choose to react to all this stuff.
React like Paul is what we're trying to say.
Be less like me right now. I'll be fine tomorrow. I just don't feel today. It's fine. On the plan B though, Chris.
Words in order,
forming sentences. I believe that it's going to be fine ultimately. I don't believe that we there's not a backup plan in place. The plan B is ultimately what we'll end up with. Yeah. You know what I mean? If we don't get the two guys.
Plan B could be shit. Maybe people don't want Plan B. Yeah, but Plan B could be terrible.
Yeah, well, listen, since the defamation of Strickland Banks, you know what I mean? But here's the thing. These guys, it's not on us and it's not up to us. You know what I mean? It's up to the guys who get paid to do these things. And I think you've kind of got to. It's hard. It's hard putting your trust in other people to determine your happiness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, if we're playing footy manager, I don't mind my assistant manager fielding the pre-match press conferences. Mm. But is he doing post-match? Is he fuck? No. I don't trust the cunt.
No, fuck that. And also, you can do it on the new one where you can let them buy players for you.
No!
Fuck off, no! I'm buying my own players, thank you very much. But yeah, this is the thing. It is very difficult. But then again, that's football, isn't it? Football is about hinging your happiness on how a random selection of other people perform.
In shorts?
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
I wouldn't have picked that to begin with.
Yeah, go ahead. And that's, yeah, no, exactly. I wouldn't have thought that. You know, no one tells you that. You know, when they go through life and they give you life advice, it's probably like try not to hinge as little of your happiness as possible.
On
11 fellas running around in shorts.
And knee high socks. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Why?
Well, they are. You don't wear them in any other situations. No, footy. Hit the knee highs on, lads. Let's go.
Roll your socks down, you dickheads. You don't like Tom Davies, though, having the socks rolled down, do you?
No, I hate that. I really like that.
But anyway.
It's the cockiness that you like about it. You love Cantona's thing as well, didn't you?
No, it's not even
you
that.
You hated Cantona, but you loved that.
I didn't mind Cantona too much, apart from when he played us. It's not even that. I just like the fact that it's the opposite to pulling your socks over your knees, which is like, if you're not Thierry Henry, pull your fucking socks down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, look, it's tough. Like I say, it's choose to believe what you want to believe. It's hard because I know I'm guilty of it to a certain extent. But I'm trying my best to let people have their own opinions. But I don't like this. There's a language of negativity, and there's this mini division, and it's not really a mini division of the fan base, because I think there's people who are bang on the FSG out stuff, and I think they're a little core, and they're getting bigger. Of course, they're getting bigger, because that's what happens when you're consistent in your voice and your message and whatever, and you don't have any massive evidence to blow you out the water. Fair play, fine. But I'm just bored of the. I'm bored. It happened with Rafa, and your dad. You were Rafa out, or you were a Rafa apologist, and I hate seeing upbeat, positive people being called like treated like happy, clappy dickheads because they're not buying into it all being shite, effectively. So if you're feeling good about Liverpool, keep it going. We'll try. I'll try my best to cheer up, and Chris will. Well, Chris probably won't stay cheery, but that's just life more than anything else. You'll be fine with all this stuff until the point where it's fucked.
And then I'll rant.
Yeah, but this is, I remember saying about managers in the past, and I said, here's the thing, and I've repeated this message a few times, 7 years we've been doing this now, so we've had a few occasions to share this message. Don't be concerned when angry, miserable people are fucking asked about things. Be asked when the fucking upbeat, optimistic people have had enough. I'm saying this on the back of sounding really miserable, but I've not had enough of the structure at Liverpool. When I've had enough, and I'm on the fucking
go back and watch some of the Hodgson videos and when we were there and the Hicks and Gillette stuff, and we were there marching against them and appearing in Dear Mr. Hicks and all that type of stuff.
Exactly.
Honestly, you'll know then we're not in the club's pocket.
Yeah, absolutely, completely agree with all that, and I've got no problem with jumping back on the barricades again if needs be. Which we've said on this podcast before. I hate the fact that we have to repeat this shit. We just do. Connor Mudge, Chris, Mudge underscore Connor, is your ketchup in the fridge or the cupboard?
Cupboard.
Do people genuinely put ketchup in the fridge?
Loads of people do, and this is a mental, it's mental to me. Uh-huh. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Ketchup's been around since like the 1870s. Uh-huh. Did people have fridges in the 1870s? No. Where did they fucking keep it? In the fucking pantry, in the cupboard, and whatever. You know what I mean? It's fine. It's absolutely fine. The reason the ketchup gets fucked is, and you'll know this from the tavern, is when you change the temperature of it too often. So when it sits out all day on a restaurant table and then they put it in the fridge, then a nasty gas builds up.
Well, no, you know what that is, though? That's because this is a complete aside, but there's a restaurant we used to work for and they used to top the glass bottles up, and it was a combination of sealing the air that would ferment and then the change of temperature, and you would have exploding ketchup bottles.
But what we noticed is when you top the ketchup up and just leave it out, it's absolutely fine. It is that changing of the temperature that actually does it. Like,
just
it's disgusting, and it blows up.
Let me expand on this then, because I'm interested genuinely. Mayonnaise,
I would fridge it.
I would fridge a jar of mayonnaise.
A jar,
but not a squeezy one.
Yeah, I don't know. The reason that I put mayonnaise in the fridge is I don't like it warm. Mm-hmm. It's like white wine. You don't have to keep it cold.
Yeah.
But it just tastes better.
Sure.
And that's the mayonnaise.
You like red wine cold, don't you?
Yeah, and that's fine. That's wrong, but it's fine.
Absolutely.
But there's a tasting with the mayonnaise. If you like your ketchup cold and that's fine as well. You can keep it in the fridge, but don't think you're doing it any good.
Butter.
I keep it out.
Is that butter or
Marge? Butter. Marge, I keep in the fridge.
See, I understand the keeping the butter out just so it's actually usable.
Yeah.
But margarine is unkillable. It's basically like, it's not even food. So it basically doesn't go out of date.
Yeah, I will challenge you that it can get pretty nasty.
Yeah. I mean, if it's...
I've had some pretty mean margarine.
If you contaminate it because you're putting your knife...
I'm not going to get into whether my wife cleans the dishes properly or not.
Your brother-in-law. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Let's know answers to that.
It's more likely Robin, to be fair. Like.
Yeah. Okay. Housemaster. In a world where Simon, Loris, and Danny are all injured, of the current outfield players, who would you have in goal versus Watford?
Hang on. Where's this question? Simon, Loris and Danny are all injured. The current outfield players, who would you have in goal versus Watford? Well, it's not going to be Klein, because he's really, really small. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to edge it from that. I'm going to go to someone. Do you know what? I fancy Gruitch as a decent keeper.
Because he's big.
He's tall.
That's a common misconception, though. People do this. Like, we'll put the big lad in goal. I'd be putting Moreno in, you know. I know he's teeny tiny.
He's also really thick.
But he's bouncy.
Do you think?
I think he'd be like a little flea. Like, you know, jump up. I bet he's dead agile. I bet he's dead.
Okay.
He's dead.
I will bow to your knowledge of goalkeepers.
It does say current outfield. But he's technically at the club, isn't he?
Oh, well, let's go with a 2016-17 first teamer.
Milner.
No.
No, actually, no, I didn't mean to say Milner. I meant to say Henderson. Henderson. We won't edit that.
I don't think Henderson counts.
Henderson played every other position, hasn't he?
We just didn't play his own last season, so I don't think he really counts.
Okay, sad.
Why wouldn't you go Coutinho? Do you not think he's bouncy enough?
No, he's not. He's just too much of a fanny. I just don't think he would. Phil Coutinho strikes me as the kind of guy who looks down upon goalkeepers.
I reckon Lallana would do a decent job, you know.
I reckon he probably would. Because these are things like, normally like one of your forwards are always good, because forwards always have a little bit of an obsession with going in goal. Like, you always see Rooney training, and was always an amazing goalkeeper. Like, they have a thing they love. They always think they're better goalkeepers. They always think they're so good at footy, they're better goalkeepers. There's always a joke like, Pelé was Brazil's best goalkeeper.
Yeah.
That's because he was so good. to be fair, but no, it's quite a funny question. Massively, it'll be Shamal George, who's also a current outfield player based on
last season.
Okay, we've not got too much time left. I just want to. Oh, there's a couple of good questions. Okay, Guzman Dembele. What team would win and why? Klopp 16-17 or Brodgers 13-14?
Rodgers 13-14. Suarez.
Yeah, I think he'd have as good a chance. But here's the thing, though. Jürgen Klopp's team last season was just incredible against boss teams. So I think we could do a job on that team.
Yeah. Look, in a one-off game of football, Paul, anything could happen. of course it could.
Yeah.
But over the course of a season, I think that the 13-14 team will come out on top.
Okay, cool. and we're not going to get through all of these, but Danny Sumner, 7. How much do you reckon some Liverpool legends be worth now? Kenny Rush, Aldo Barnes, Highway, Souness, God, Thompson, Hansen, etc.
I mean, Fowler's worth a lot. He's got a lot of property.
Yeah. I think we might have answered
transfer fees.
Yeah, I think we've answered the John Barnes one in the past, but I think you look at what John Barnes was, that John Barnes that we signed, and he had those 2 or 3 years where he was like 20 goal a season in and around that. For a left-footed left winger as well, I think you're talking world transfer records. That John Barnes.
I think you're probably looking at around what Bale went for.
Yeah.
And whatever Bale would go for. Bale's probably gone down a little bit now, but maybe around that figure there.
Around 100 million.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it's the thing I've discovered, because I've been doing the My Club stuff on Pro Evo, and you can win Liverpool Legends. And what I noticed is, like, the older players, like, pace is so important in the modern game. And although, you know, like Kenny Dalglish didn't need pace, and Rush had it, but I don't know comparatively how fast he was in that kind of thing. But I think Kenny would still be a top whack. But what a lot of these guys, like, again, they lack is just that.
Yeah, I kind of think of it. It's a shame, really, in that, you know, Xavi never moved or Iniesta never moved, so you couldn't get a real a current market value for a player that is instrumental in everything that their team does, but doesn't have those physical attributes. Now, Kenny, for me, would fall in that bracket.
Yeah,
I can't think of many players. Like, Alonso never moved for pure money. Did he move for 30 million like 30 one time?
We sold. Xabi Alonso.
Yeah, Xabi Alonso. From Real to Munich, though? Was that a freebie?
I don't know the answer to that.
He would be one of those games, like, pulls the strings or something like that. Anybody know?
Useless.
I think that'd be really difficult. I think you're talking maybe, like, the 60 to 70 millions for Kenny, and I think that's bad. I think that's massively undervalued, but I think you're right, the physical attributes really... Yeah, they really are.
Someone like a Hansen, if Van Dijk's going for 50 plus million, Hansen would absolutely be in that. I think would absolutely be in that bracket.
Oh, mate. I think he'd be higher.
Yeah, similarly, like a Souness again, you know, imagine a Souness in Liverpool's midfield.
If Keita is going for 64, I tell you what, Souness is going for more than that. Yeah, absolutely. 80. I'm saying 80.
Go for it. Why not? And just lastly, we got a tweet, and I did ask people for topics, and Ole_LFC sent me a picture of 2 topic chocolate bars.
I like that. Did you say topics?
Send me some topics. Yeah,
that's brilliant. Topics, I love the fact that he's gone plural on it, because it would have been so easy to just send you one. But that's wrong.
Topic, it would have been absolutely incorrect. But Ole LFC, you are our hero of the week. It's not going to be a thing we do every week. I'll probably forget that I've done that next week.
Essentially, your hero of the season.
You've
been promoted already. Well done. So good. Nice topics.
Brilliant. So, yeah, guys, thanks very much for everyone who's gotten involved and emailed us. We mentioned this last week, but, tickets now on sale. Red Men Live in Berlin. If you're going over to watch Liverpool versus Hertha Berlin, we are going to be doing a live show on the 28th. Details?
Yeah, 28th of July, doors open at 7 o'clock, 7:30 we'll be going on, football banter, football chat, all the usual stuff, laughs, quizzes, giveaways, loads of good prizes to give away and stuff as well. So it's bit.ly/redmenlive, all lowercase, to go and get your tickets. They're £10 in English sterling. If you're in Europe, you will have to convert that. It's about 11 and a half euros. We've been through this.
Absolutely. So, yeah, come and join us. Come and have a bevy with us over in Germany. And then I'm going on to Munich after that. So if anyone's going to Munich, let us know. And we'll try and meet up and have a bevoir somewhere around there. Anyway, thanks, guys, for listening. Thanks for watching on the website. As always, if you enjoy the Red Men TV, if you enjoy the free stuff, then go and subscribe. subscribe on the website.
Why should they subscribe, Paul?
Well, because it makes all of this a reality, Chris. The people who subscribe are the people who basically are our backers, our supporters, and they're the ones who help make Red Men TV.
What if they just like podcasts and they don't like video content?
Well, stay tuned, because there is more audio versions of stuff. So the Red News Roundup has an audio version that you can listen to if you just like audio stuff, and much more audio-based goodness coming your way in the next few weeks.
Now, the website, as it currently stands, doesn't really support podcasts.
Oh, but it will.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. More news to follow. Guys, thank you very much. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Hope you enjoy your Liverpool week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
We'll be back with the podcast next week. Walk on.